afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Won't dig, but yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Do you think Gronk is going to retire and be in the WWE?
Who cares? We're talking hockey.
Yeah, it's a hockey.
We're talking hockey, baby.
And you're thinking, really? Jesus, does your head bump the rim for Christ's sake? Look at your arm. I throw a bottle of Beef Eater in my 20s. Now that's why they call me country.
985 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Maybe we give Cogsy a call today.
Check on him, see how he's doing.
Yeah, we got Cogsy's phone number.
We haven't heard from him since Friday?
Was it
like this past Friday? Yeah.
Maybe we give Cogsy a call today, see what he's doing with Cogsy. Good morning. We are the Touch for Rich radio program.
Are you ready for Snowmageddon? Have you been watching the TVs and seen the 18 heads in squares? We are stationed all over. I guess Steve Cooper was, people were sending me screenshots of him with like a bag of marshmallows in his hand outside of a convenience store. I have no idea why. Well, maybe it was to compare the density of a marshmallow.
He's trying to win an Emmy. He's really going for it now.
Yeah.
He's prop comic. He's Carrot Top of crap reporters.
Well, this is the morning where they're all going to be climbing on the top of snow hills just to show you. Oh, there's Marshall Hook. What is a morning with snow without Marshall Hook?
He's in the car. Around? Where is he?
He's at 495 in Andover.
There he is.
And he has a picture of what looks like traffic moving quite nicely, but there happens to be a utility vehicle on the side of the road just sitting there. I don't know why they're filming it.
But he got out of his truck. The door's open. I'm thinking the guy got out of the truck and said, why the hell are you following me?
Well, no, he got out of the truck. He realized it was Marshall Hook and started asking for autographs.
Fair enough.
I mean, you don't just see the hook and then not ask to get something signed.
But God bless the plow people because the roads look pretty damn good this morning. I mean, they were ready to go. And I know that yesterday around like 6 o'clock or 6 p.m., people were saying, oh, well, it looks like we're not going to get any snow. And then all of a sudden, 8 o'clock, just dumped like buckets. And within minutes, I heard the plows outside. And on the way in, you know, they were rolling, you know, they do it like four deep where you got one on the far left and they just, you know, they stagger in order to get all the snow off the road. But they were, I mean, the roads were... Even to Mike, who comes in from Foxborough, he said the roads were pretty clear this morning, so they were ready for this.
Bird called me and said it was terrible.
No, he's in the Everett part of town, so I don't know. I mean,
it was terrible for Dan O'Brien as well.
Okay, so from Foxborough, it was fine. For me, from Boston, it was fine.
Coming west, it was fine.
North is not good.
North is bad?
North and west is not that good.
Okay.
No.
And, they're doing a great job, but it just, like you said, Rich, it came down so fast, so hard.
I like the plow drivers more when they stop running me off the road. When they start yielding in any way, shape, or form when you're coming down and stop running me into snowbanks.
They did that? Someone ran you into a snowbank?
Not this morning, but the story with Adolfo when they ran me into a snowbank bank, and I made the mistake of letting Adolfo try to move the car and it started smelling like smoke and I realized he had it in neutral.
Oh, that's right. So you were parked on the side of the road? Recap the story because I forget.
I was going up a hill. On the way home from work on a residential street, and a guy in a snowplow, because he was one of these snowplow guys that think they're Superman, like basically just didn't slow down and just was going down the road just right at me. So, and he was like, I'm kick ass. I got a snowplow. Come on. And he went and he ran me into a bank. So then I was like, I got stuck. So I said, all right, Adolfo. Go out and push, and I'm going to try to get us out of this bank. Now, the front of my car was in the bank. The first thing he does is he walks to the back of the car and starts pushing, which I tell him, you're pushing me further into the bank, stupid. The front of my car is in the bank. And then he couldn't get it together at all to figure out how to push it. So I said, all right, here's what you do. I want you to put it in reverse and gun it. And then, and as soon as you feel the car move, I want you to stop. He's like, okay. So he gets into the car, and he puts in, all of a sudden I hear, and I'm like, wow, we're really stuck. Then I smell smoke. Adolfo's in neutral.
Yeah.
He's put the car in neutral, and he's flooring it in neutral.
Well, that's a man who failed his driver's test five times.
Yeah.
I took him all five. And I think the sixth one, the very first time I took him for a driver's test, I remember we were standing there because you wait out front of the building and the instructor comes up and pulls up and says, okay, it's, you know, hop in the driver's seat. And then the instructor gets in the passenger seat. And I saw them, they literally went up to the end of the parking lot, took a right, and then immediately pulled back and dropped Adolfo off. And I said, what happened? He goes, I failed my test. I was like, what? You didn't even look, you took a test. You just pulled out of the parking lot. He goes, well, they told me to take a left and I took a right.
It seems rather harsh. I think there may have to be more of just they looked at Adolfo and said maybe he shouldn't have a license.
I think that could be a nerves thing, you know? You're driving and you're a little nervous.
I think that they looked at him and said, this is a man who doesn't know the difference between right and left. Maybe we don't let him drive.
I think if it's someone else, maybe there's a little bit of leeway given, but not in that case. Yeah, you guys have... Well, you live in the city where apparently everything is done in this, you know, syncope, it's like synchronized swimming where everything goes and happens. But, I mean, I've been, my experience with snow plows is they just run right at you. And it's up to you. If you played chicken and said, I'm going to just maintain where I am in my lane, you're going to get in an accident.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's the cities that have hills and stuff, those are scary as hell, because you're right. Sometimes the plows can be going down the hill, and you could be going up in a different direction. And you know how it is with the snow. Those two lanes turn into essentially one lane. So you're right. It's chicken. You know, they're going to move you over to the side and budge you. But in the city, we got sidewalk snowplow guys. They're the ones who actually have the things that they push, but it's got the little screen in front of them.
Right.
And they sometimes can't see who's walking in front of them. So you just have to jump in the middle of the street to get out of the way.
I wish I just got it like a beater car, and I just said, "Let's go." You know, let's test the limits here.
You want to take me on? Let's do it.
Like you know what? I can afford to lose this car.
Yeah,
wear a helmet and just go out there and say, "Let's see how this goes."
Well,
you're gonna take up a lane and a half,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna make me. It happens to me all the time, and you're gonna make me like. Stop and like turn over like you're an ambulance.
Sounds like a scene out of a movie where you put the helmet on, you put the mouthpiece in, you know, you grip the steering wheel real tight, yeah,
it's
like the engine
it's
and
it's
go.
Happy days.
It's Footloose. It's the tractor race.
Yeah.
It's the Malachi Crunch.
Good reference.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Pinky Tuscadero got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fonzie saw that they knocked her out with the Malachi Crunch.
Yep. Well, usually things go smoothly in the city, but yesterday around 11:15, there's a report that a woman was walking in front of Tufts Medical Center, like the emergency room right there on Washington Street, and a snowplow hit her.
Oh.
And at least she didn't have to go that far to get to the hospital. So, I mean, she got, they're saying that it's pretty bad injuries right there. I don't know if she was on the sidewalk or what. The information is fairly limited. But then again, I've also seen people just run out in the middle of the road. Just to randomly just run out in the middle of the road just because they're in the city. They think it's okay just to... And that section right there, there's a couple walkways that people don't even use. They'll just literally run right out in the middle of the road. So I'm not sure if that happened or not. But there's a snowplow accident that did end up going down at Tufts Medical Center yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's been a light year for the snowplows. So I bet you they're quite excited today.
Well, as I said, that's probably why everything was done so efficiently and smoothly. They've been waiting for a paycheck.
At least I wasn't packed in. I don't even know how much it snowed, but at least it wasn't blocking my driveway. Because there was no way I was going out at night and shoveling. There was absolutely no chance of that happening.
Have you used that app yet? You probably haven't had to this year, but this is the first year that I heard about this. You know how much like they have like Uber? This is Uber for guys with snowplows. So if you need to get out of your driveway,
wow.
You can basically put it in I don't know the name of it. I'm not going to plug it because I've never used it. But there are apps out there now that you can put in your address, and it tells you how long it'll take for them to get there. And you can actually pay a little bit extra for them to like rush service. They'll be there within an hour if you pay a little extra. And you say how bit long your driveway is, how big it is, and they will come and they'll shovel it out for you.
My driveway can barely fit two cars. There's nothing for them to do. I mean, they could come and they could plow the front of it. but I'm not paying someone $60 to plow the front of my driveway. So there's nothing for really for them to do. I'm not living like Wallach with a 2-car garage out there in Natick, living in a 7-bedroom mansion with a pool in back.
That's got to be a hell of a driveway to shovel out.
Yeah, not fun, which is why I had a guy that I've had for a long time come and plow me out at about 3 this morning. He's out all night. He's got a lot of different things he's doing. He's got a lot of different accounts. I'm like, if you are around at 3, could you plow me out? And so he did.
Do you know the guy's name?
Yes, Dom is his name.
Dom?
Mm-hmm.
Did you give him a little tip?
Yes.
Did you give him a little love?
Of course.
Dom the Digger.
So you were out there at 3 in the morning?
He was out there at 3 in the morning.
So how do you tip him?
Well, when you pay him.
He sends me a bill, and I give him a little extra.
It's not very personal.
No, it's not.
You should go out there and give Tom a little love. Or Dom.
Dom.
Johnny, go ahead.
Freddie T, what's up, brother?
What's up, man?
I got to give you a little bit of a high time for yelling about the plow, guys.
All right.
I've been out since 8 o'clock last night. I've had people just like you. You know, I'm in the beautiful city of Lowell. Obviously, some great roads out here. And the people keep coming out and saying, "You're throwing snow at the end of my driveway every single person."
I didn't complain about that. That's not what I complained about.
Every single person.
Okay, I understand that. That's not my complaint. My complaint is, and I'm not saying it's you, is that I've had experience of plow guys running me off the road.
Well, yeah. Some of those guys with the big wind plows, they can be kind of dinks.
Yeah. No, I understand the plow. I understand. Well, what are you going to do? I understand that the snow packs up in front of my driveway. I'm not complaining about that.
I just wanted to call and complain about the people complaining about snow in the other driveway. They don't understand basic physics.
Yeah, I know. They don't understand that it's that. Yeah, when you're plowing, that the snow is going to be. I don't like it, but I understand.
Well, the best of the day is like today when you park on the street, where you come out and you're just walled in.
That's it. It's over.
The snow is all the way up to the side of your car.
I used to live in Boston.
This is going to take. I used to park on the street too. It's like this is going to take me 45 minutes
in Brighton.
In Brighton,
it was the same way. There are more people out today than I've seen in years. Right before the marathon and when it snows, there was like probably about a dozen people out digging out. And then I usually never see anybody unless they're BC kids going to some practice.
And this is this is it. Like, as far as the snow couple days, I think till Monday. The weekend. Okay, till Monday.
Monday.
So you're not going to have, and it's going to melt, so you're not going to have those people fighting over their space savers, which that's when it gets fun.
Yeah, maybe today. That's when it's really fun.
It's going to melt. I mean, for the most part, it's going to melt today.
And you have every right to fight for that spot. If you dug yourself out and someone just comes in and takes that, that's not fair at all.
Well, the best was a couple years ago when it was such a big problem, and it was after those blizzards, that people had their space savers out, and when the weather finally started getting nice again, the city said, if you don't remove your space saver, the city's going to come and collect them for you. You know, like a threat. And everyone was like, okay. So they started taking things that they've been trying to get rid of for years, like old washing machines. They were sticking them in the spaces. That's going, great. Awesome, free garbage pickup. Yeah. Very good. I'll take it.
Don't take this ancient lawn chair that's been in the snow all summer, all winter.
Right. This old crib.
Yeah.
Trying to abandon for a while.
Yeah, we're gonna take the space savers. No! This trunk has been in my family for generations.
That was the best.
Yeah, good. Take them. What do I care?
Talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Kutcher and Rich.
I don't have a problem with that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Kutcher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Kutcher and Rich. And Rich, all the action last night. Tons of action.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bruins' already shorthanded depth took another shot yesterday.
The Kaiser around the boards. A steal. Pastrnak to Marchand. Unselfish. And Nielsen is down face first in the Detroit defensive zone. I heard it. I did not see it.
Well, for that hit right there against Franz Nielsen in Tuesday night's win against the Red Wings, David Backes will serve a 3-game suspension thanks to a ruling yesterday from the NHL's Department of Player Safety. The hit came in the first period as Nielsen attempted to clear the puck from the Detroit zone while backed up against the sideboards, and Backes came in for the hit very, very late and threw his shoulder into Nielsen as he skated on past him.
It wasn't that egregious an offense, and he has no record of doing anything like this. He got completely screwed.
You can't take any chances with this right now. If it's any kind of shot to the head, especially when it's that late of a hit,
he shouldn't have been suspended at all.
Nielsen, he's got no record. Back, I get it.
Look, if Nielsen comes back, there's no suspension, but he didn't, which is why there was.
Yeah, I mean, they have to do that. They've warned people about this. I mean,
they don't have to suspend him for 3 games. I mean, if you say suspended Marchand, what are they, 5 games? Suspended Marchand for 5 games because he's constantly getting in trouble. There's no reason that they suspended Backes for 3 games.
There was no reason for him to do that. None.
It doesn't matter. 3 games is way too much for a player with no history who has a clean record.
But the NHL has made a statement saying that they are not going to take this lightly.
Right. Well, and so three games is too much.
And I know that Backes obviously has no track record whatsoever. He's never been suspended. But in the same way, shots to the head, that's something that they've told everyone. You're going to get
suspended.
That's
fine, but I don't think it was that egregious, and I also don't believe that it should have been anywhere near 3 games. If I think it should have been a fine, and if anything, maybe 1 game.
Well, here is the NHL with their awesome videos that they put out justifying why they did what they did.
Well, after the puck is gone, Backes delivers a late, high hit that makes substantial head contact with the head of Nielsen. This is interference. While we acknowledge Backes' attempt to contort his body in a way that might minimize the force of the hit, what results is a hit with substantial and forceful contact to Nielsen's head. The Department of Player Safety has suspended David Backes for 3 games.
I love the cool, like, garage door, metal garage door closing sound at the end of each of them.
Yeah, like, that's been said. Now lock him up. See, right. Even that explanation, we can understand that Backes tried to contort his body to lessen the hit.
No history, tried to contort his body to get away from the hit, but we're still going to suspend him 3 games?
To lessen it, but they still hit him in the head. He hit him in the head.
I understand it was a headshot.
I'm good for
1 game, but honest to God, the way the track records work, if you have no history of this, and Nielsen, I said it before, Nielsen didn't return to the game. That, in my mind, was the determining factor. Well,
then you should
not
get
the hit
one
itself.
Then you should get 1 game. If you want to play fair and he didn't return to the game, then, you know, the Red Wings lost a player for a game and you on a questionable hit. So suspends Backes for 1 game.
Well, once again, the hit wasn't questionable. By the time that Backes hit him, Pastrnak already had the puck and was making moves with
it. It was gone.
It was a long, long, long time. And I think that's one of the main things
we agree on this. Freddie, are you arguing this? I'm not arguing this. No, it was not a good hit.
No, it was not a good hit.
It was late and it was high. But given the factors that Backes has been a clean player, has never been suspended.
He's in his like mid-30s and he's never been suspended. He has a clean history. They say in that he tried to contort his body to lessen the hit. They explain it, and then for no reason they get 3 games.
3 is excessive. I agree.
Well, looking at the schedule, looks like he's going to be out for tonight's game against Philly. They could have used him, obviously. And then the 2 home-and-home games against the Blackhawks on Saturday and Sunday, returning on Tuesday night for the Bruins game in Carolina. So, once again, a team that's already beaten and battered and is missing people is missing even more now. So, we shall see how it all pans out. You can hear the puck drop tonight for that game. I know that Wallach's very nervous. His wife is a big Flyers fan. Is that correct?
No, she could care less about the Flyers.
I thought she was all things Philly sports.
No. That hockey takes a vacation. Remember when the Bruins were up 3-0 and wound up losing in 7?
Yeah.
She did not pay attention until game 7.
She didn't give her ass.
No, not at all.
It's
all
like right. A friend of Rich's and I who could care less. A typical Cubs fan, he could care less about the Cubs. This is not the year they won the World Series,
right.
But it was the year that the kid interfered with the ball. And
Bartman.
And he was like, I got a pizza from a Chicago place. You know, like, all right, you know, they play 162 of these, buddy.
Yeah.
You could have at least checked in on one.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that the Bulls suck. I think they're getting yelled at right now for sitting their good players.
The NBA
kind of sat down.
Called them and said, yeah, we're going to fine your ass if you don't start playing your players.
Would you be any more blatant in trying to tank?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm almost positive I saw this, but Denzel Valentine was like on the bench for a smaller school during their playoff. Like, he was helping out. I gotta Google that, because I could have sworn that it was Denzel Valentine, who's, by the way, not having a bad year.
No, he's getting some playing time this year after the Bulls got rid of everybody.
Yeah, so I gotta make sure. I should have looked at that before. Denzel Valentine, obviously a second-year player with the Bulls, and I thought I saw him on the bench as a coach for someone.
While you're looking that up, this was kind of interesting. For some reason, when we had Mike Gorman on yesterday, we do every Wednesday, our question to him about whether we thought Gordon Hayward was going to be coming back got a little bit of a pop yesterday. Like, a bunch of people picked it up and debated it. You know, I saw a couple NBA writers trying to debate what Mike Gorman said. He believes that because of that video that came out where it shows him in 9 hours a day, he's training hopefully to get back, and he puts the thing on the Players Tribune and all of that. He thinks that despite what Brad Stevens says, he wouldn't be working out that hard as rigorously as he is if he didn't, at least if he wasn't attempting to come back this season. And Gorman says he believes he will come back this season. Of course, a bunch of people shut that down, including Gordon Hayward Sr. Gordon Hayward Sr. was doing an interview for ESPN because I guess he had some charity basketball thing that he was doing. This is Gordon Hayward's father. And he said that, quote, he's working his tail off and could possibly play, and that would be great, but I don't think that's really possible. He said, he's not even running or jumping yet. Although
He was jumping.
That's what I'm saying. In the video, I saw him jumping.
He's taking jump shots.
Yeah, from yesterday, his father says he's not even running or jumping yet. But no, I could have sworn I saw, was he leaving his feet?
He was taking jump shots.
Well, he was taking jump shots. Yeah, he was leaving
his feet.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking of the video.
It wasn't 1930. He wasn't taking set shots from 20 feet out.
Well, I mean, he had been taking set shots for a while. There were videos of him taking
shooting
set shots.
Chairs. We've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that. No, he was taking jump shots. And then he was dribbling the ball around like nobody's business. That's a jump shot. That's a jump shot.
Yeah, he's jumping.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what his dad's talking about.
But he's not running.
No, he's cutting side to side, which is even harder.
On your ankle, that's not the easiest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I love how he's not running is like something that's going to keep a basketball player from being off the court. There's a lot of sharpshooters who don't run that much.
Yeah.
Watched today's NBA.
Who's the guy from Cleveland?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. The guy with the big eyebrows who used to play for Atlanta.
Corver.
Yeah. Kyle Korver. Not exactly the fastest man in the world.
No, but he's got to run around screens to get open.
The best is when
Eddie House wasn't the fastest guy in the world.
Oh, yes, he was. Lightning quick, Eddie House.
The best is when Korver was red hot against the Celtics.
Oh, that was in the game earlier this season. And then Ty Lue sat him down.
No, because they were running triple screens for him, and he couldn't get open.
No.
And then he would come back on defense exhausted, and they would just blow right by him.
Yep.
All right. What else do we have, Rich? Because we have to give you the headlines.
Some interesting Patriots news. Players that they were in on and players that they might be in on.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 to Sports Up. We are Toucher and Rich. What else is going down in the streets, Rich?
Well, there were Bennetts moving all over the NFL yesterday. First off, the Imagination Agency himself, Martellus, was released as expected from the Patriots. He was due $2 million as a roster bonus next week.
I'm sure he's crushed.
Patriots said nope, and his release frees up $6 million in cap room. But across the country, there was the Bennett brother who still actually seems to want to play football.
Oh, he does. He plays football very successfully.
Second on the team in sacks last year.
That being very good Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett. And regarding him, the rich got richer because he was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles along with a seventh-round pick, rather, for a fifth-round pick and wide receiver Marcus Johnson. Now, according to Ian Rappaport, the Patriots wanted him and were actually willing to give him more than the Eagles. He said that Seattle received a far better offer from New England, offering a third rounder and a fifth rounder for Bennett, but the Seahawks went forward with the Philly deal because the New England deal came in late and Seattle would have looked horrible to go back on Philly. Ultimately, Seattle chose
anti-Josh McDaniel.
I was just about to say, what the hell is it with the Patriots this offseason and late moves being made?
Yeah,
maybe they got cocky because they thought it worked with Josh McDaniels, and then the Seattle was like, nope, don't work here.
Yeah. There's, listen, not to make too big a deal of it, but chalk it up as another thing that they screwed up.
Yeah, that could be. So, ultimately, Seattle chose the Eagles' offer. They said that...
By the way, you can still go to my Twitter, even though I don't look at it, and yell that I said something negative about the Patriots.
Yeah, they had already verbally agreed on their deal, and the Seahawks said...
Imagine that honoring of a verbal deal.
It is very strange. And another great rumor being stoked by ESPN is that there have been trade conversations going on between the Broncos and the 49ers... For my dog Aqib Talib.
Oh, that's my dog, man.
But it doesn't look like that's going to get done because reportedly Talib prefers to be released by Denver so he can choose his next team, his top choice being the New England Patriots.
You watch Tom Brady throw bombs. He on my team. Hey, man. Hey, that's fun, man.
It is fun. We do know that.
There is an update this morning. KUSA television in Denver is reporting that Denver and the Patriots have discussed a trade involving Aqib Talib.
Oh, hell yeah. Bring the chain snatcher to New England, baby. Yeah. Finally, someone who's a guaranteed soundbite every Sunday.
Well, I'm all for him being on the team. I think he's very funny. A 32-year-old corner.
Yeah. If you think you're getting Talib from a few years ago, the same guy, but it'd be cool to have him.
But he's still effective. He's middle of the pack.
He's more effective than the squadron of defensive backs they had in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, sure. They could have.
The squadron that were on the field.
Yes.
They could have used more effective than any of those guys.
I believe I'd prefer Malcolm Butler to Aqib Talib, but nonetheless, Aqib Talib, obviously a crafty veteran.
And on top of that, he knows the system, and more than anything, he'll talk. Yep. Oh, please talk. That would be the best.
When I saw, went back inside.
Yeah, sir.
He kind of live with me. I put him in my guest room, you know, keep me entertained all day.
He really is something that there's nobody in this locker room now who talks.
Nope.
Nobody.
Well, I mean, Gronkowski, but you've heard everything he's got to say. Yeah, you need a
wild card.
Yeah, you need like a Merriweather. You need Aqib Talib.
Need the wild card. Very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The chain snatcher. Well, another player the Patriots fans seem to be getting excited about is this guy who Adam Schefter spoke about yesterday.
Basically, there have been conversations that have been ongoing about Richard Sherman's future in Seattle between Richard Sherman, who represents himself without an agent, and the Seahawks front office and coaching staff. They have not reached any firm conclusions. It is looking as if it is very possible that Richard Sherman could be a free agent, that they could move on. Look, he's coming off an Achilles injury. He, right now, is scheduled to make $13 million a year. And right now, if the two sides can't find a common ground, the Seahawks would wind up releasing him.
All right. So, Richard Sherman, you know what? The more I thought about it, the more I'd rather have Aqib Talib than Richard Sherman. Because right now, he's a big question mark. You don't know how healthy he's going to be when he comes back. And I like Richard Sherman. Obviously, he's someone who's, you know, given the Patriots a hell of a lot of fits over the past years.
If he's healthy, who do you want? I understand you want to leave for the quotes
But that's a big if.
If he's healthy, who do you want?
I'd still probably go with Aqib Talib. I mean, the guy knows the system. I mean,
the system constantly is changing.
Understood, but I mean, Aqib Talib does get hurt in important
He gets hurt frequently. I want the younger guy, if he's healthy. If all things being equal, I would take Sherman over Talib.
Boy, how about Seattle? Just a fire sale. Get rid of all of them. Rebuilding.
They have to. They're up against it, and it's time to turn that roster over.
They're getting older, and Chancellor's hurt. I mean, it's time.
Yeah, it's time to overturn that roster. They got into a situation like most teams do, but the Patriots end up being able to avoid it, where all the contracts come up and all the guys that were affordable. Because when they re-signed Russell Wilson, it screwed them cap-wise, and so they had to make all these decisions. And the reason Philadelphia can absorb the Bennett contract is because Wentz doesn't make any money. So, you know, this is the time. You get that window where you have guys. Jacksonville's in one of those windows right now. You know, there's going to be a time where you're going to have to pick and choose who you want to keep on that defense. So it's come from the time of reckoning for Seattle.
Speaking of Seattle, this sucks. I heard this news yesterday, and it really kind of pissed me off. Or actually made me sad, to be quite honest. Gruden's quarterback camp, it's no more, because obviously he is going to be coaching for the Oakland Raiders. But they named a replacement, and that replacement is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is going to do a quarterback camp where he teaches four prospects the ways and the tricks and things like that. That is going to suck.
Okay, again, I should run every network. They can't figure out why they paid Gruden so much money. They don't know.
To them, because they're so idiotic, they think that they paid Gruden because he's a great football mind. Now, he certainly is. He's obsessed with the game of football.
And he's brilliant. And he is.
Okay. Yes, with football. Let's not go crazy.
Well, I'm saying he's brilliant. I mean, like, the way he would call plays before they happened. Right. I mean, the guy did that. You know,
that's fine. But the reason he was a star...
Eat that Cheeto.
Is because he was insane.
Where's those noodles?
He worked. He had a personality that no one on sports in football analysis has ever had.
You like cats?
I mean, he came out like dressed as a cowboy and all this stuff, and that was what won people over. Oh, that's what made him a hit. And now Russell Wilson. I understand he does the Kids' Choice Awards, and he wants to get himself out there, and he wants a career in broadcasting, but he's boring. He's so boring, I guess he didn't even get laid till he got married, like this one next to me.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, last year, I dressed up as the Joker.
So, I just realized as I was saying it, Richard's in the same boat. I tried to lessen the blow.
Some of us honor God's wishes.
Why do you think that would be insulting to him?
Some of us are going to burn in a fiery pit of hell while a devil with a pitchfork and a tail with a point
flame on, baby.
Russell Wilson is a mashed potato sandwich with mayo on white.
He really is.
So why? Okay, so Rich, explain this to me. You're running ESPN because this is a major hire.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm running, and I'm the skipper fella, mm-hmm. and I'm running ESPN. And I go, what's going to work for me? The quarterback camp is ridiculous. Like, it's not serious business.
No.
So why Russell Wilson? Because is it a thought that, well, he's famous and people will tune in
and he's likable and he's a nice guy.
But, you know, you want a personality that stands out.
Shake it up. Give me Randy Moss wide receiver camp. I would love to watch that.
I'm trying to think. Give me Aqib Talib. I'm dead
corner
serious.
Camp. Oh, Aqib Talib corner camp? Oh, I mean, but you see, Fred, that's in, like, you and me dreamland. ESPN would be too scared to give him a show. Give me Marshawn Lynch running back camp.
Well, Marshawn Lynch that's just good. Came out with this Skittles video.
Yeah, which I'd seen. Now, is there a longer version of the two-minute one?
No. Okay. It's not worth playing the audio, but, I mean, he's a star. I would give... That's who you do it.
Marshawn Lynch's running back camp.
Marshawn Lynch is legitimately funny. Legitimately funny.
And legitimately talented.
I would... Yeah, he's the only athlete in the league that did anything that was somewhat watchable.
No. I mean, like, for the football aspect that you need to fill this role,
he's
both. He's got both things you need.
I would... If I had a three-man booth on Monday Night Football, I'd have Marshawn Lynch in there. I would.
In the booth?
Yes.
I mean, listen, it would be great. I wonder how sustainable that would be.
You need a personality that is unique. You don't need someone who breaks down the games well, especially in Monday Night Football.
Well, Gruden was both.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was both. And it's tough to find that.
And then they neutered Gruden, but the reason Gruden was the highest paid personality at ESPN is because he was charismatic and unusual. And Randy Moss is good at TV, but he's not unusual.
He's pretty unusual. I mean, as far as like what's out there, he's one of my favorites.
He's no Gruden. Oh. In his prime.
Remember how they tried to make Rex Ryan into something lovable and boring?
Has anyone heard from Rex in the last few months?
No, he can't do TV.
Man.
Which is amazing because that's somebody I would have put money on.
Yeah, I thought he was going to
be. Like, I would have been like, that's a great hire. And then he just was awful. I mean, it wasn't like Joe Montana where everyone knew that wasn't going to be any good.
Right.
Well,
Dan Marino hung around for years and years being awful. We will return. And later, we'll get to some of your wrestling submissions as the clock is ticked. And now it is all about picking who will take on Sarge tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Guy from Machine is committed to it. Rich, very concerned about the role of Guy from Machine.
I just don't want him to be wasted.
He won't be wasted. Okay. He likes coming in. He's going to be the hype man.
I feel bad because the one time he came in...
Rock and Roll Mike is not going
to
be here.
Well, Nick accidentally told like Guy from Machine to come in. Like, we didn't know he was even going to be here, so we had nothing for him to do, and Guy from Machine just yelled all over him, so I felt bad.
No, Guy from Machine has a role.
Okay.
He's coming in. I mean, we don't need to do a half an hour with Guy from Machine. He's going to pop in. We're going to talk to him. He's going to be the hype man for Sarge. Listen, we're going to stack this place with personalities, baby.
Oh, it'll be stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the submissions we got yesterday. It will be stacked.
Is Ron Perlman going to be one of the guys that we picked?
Ron Perlman? Hellboy?
There was a guy who we took a gander at that we liked that looked exactly like Ron Perlman with a beard.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, you liked him.
The Willie Nelson dude.
Yeah, he was like the rock and roll wrestler.
Okay. Yeah, you might be one of them.
All right, we will get some of those for you. Yeah, there he is behind you. All right, we'll get some of those for you.
Ron Perlman.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Parkland... What is it, Stoneham Douglas High School? That was in, yeah. That's the one in Parkland.
Yeah,
right?
Florida, yes. Where the shooting was.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so you heard about the kid Tyler Goodman, who the school, some University of Massachusetts school named Nichols,
mm-hmm.
Had two representatives there trying to recruit the kid, and the kid had no intention of going to Nichols. And then the shooting happened while the two guys were trying to recruit him were there. And he felt the bond with the recruiters, and he's ended up signing on with that school, which is an interesting story. By the way, this pertains to sports. The wonderful, wonderful Secretary of Education, who has so much business having that role, and Betsy DeVos, a heiress who's married another heiress who has no background in education whatsoever, spent 90 minutes at the school there in Parkland and spoke to no students. She was allowed one student to ask a question, then she walked around. She didn't even express anything to the student body. But then Dwayne Wade showed up.
Who I, as a person, usually hate, but this was awesome.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade showed up because one of the victims in the shooting got buried in a Dwayne Wade uniform. And Dwayne Wade has dedicated the season to him. And it's funny because that you can just go off. Like, when he found out that the kid had gotten buried in his jersey, didn't he score, like, 14 in the last 16 points?
He went nuts, yeah.
So mm-hmm. It's like, if you're Dwayne Wade, it's funny, like...
Well, Dwayne Wade also has a I-don't-really-want-to-try meter going on
yeah,
right now.
So it was just funny that he can turn it on like that.
Yeah,
like,
you know, it's not funny. It's how he's been playing the last few years.
But it's just, it's odd that you can just go, you know what, I'm really going to turn this on.
Yeah.
But who would have thought that Dwayne Wade, showing up at the school, and he met with the victims, that particular victim who got buried in his jersey, he met with his friends, he met with the newspaper people, he talked in the cafeteria.
Stayed for a long, long time.
Who would have thought that Dwayne Wade would have taken the time to talk to more kids than the own Betsy DeVos, who has no business being in her role?
We have an interesting call on line one.
All right, it better be Potsy or whatever.
No, it's not Codsy. But it's somebody, I think, who's got the blues.
Okay. Ernie, go ahead.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, I don't have the blues. I'm feeling groovy.
Ernie, what are you up to? What's going on? How's the snow treating you?
Well, I'll tell you. Fred, I think you and I have something in common because the snow gives me the blues. When I heard this nor'easter was coming, we fired up the chopper, and I came down to Mississippi Delta, my happy place. I'm looking at the crossroads right now from a Range Rover.
You are. The crossroads were the famous, where Robert Johnson, a blues legend, made a deal with the devil, correct?
That's right. But hey, I got a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Keep busting on my friend, John Skipper. He and I went to Exeter together. We used to bond over some Blind Lemon Jefferson records all night. Oh, man, he's a good guy.
So, did Ernie Bach really go to Jefferson? I don't know.
I think this guy's really done his homework. So,
one more thing. Have you ever had a mashed potato sandwich?
I have not.
Well, you got to open up your mind before you start talking trash on things you don't know about, man. Those aren't so bad.
Okay. All right. What is your favorite kind of blues? When you pick up the guitar, what comes to your fingers?
Well, I like the, boy, You put me on the spot. This question's giving me the blues.
good luck selling all the cars and stuff in the snow.
All right. Fake Ernie Buck Jr.
Thank you very much. You did a little Wikipedia search before he called
in. That's right. He's John Skipper. Fake Ernie Bach Jr., everybody, having the time of his life.
Down at the crossroads.
All right. We have this Crush the Crew contest. We have that coming up.
It has taken on a life of its own. Yeah. It truly has. Now I'm hearing, I mean, I was getting texts all day yesterday from different people at the station. There's now a ton of people involved that I had no idea were going to be involved.
Yeah. Andy Wong offered up a gift. And to Sarge, I'd say, what are you thinking? How are you so ignorant to how radio works? He's like, hey, can we throw in something from a sponsor, from someone who's not a sponsor, and just flip that in? That's a promotion for the restaurant? Did you read the email?
Yeah.
Like, what is he thinking? No.
I didn't care. I was like, okay.
You can't do that.
Well, you don't have to say the name of whatever it is. I was thinking, like, maybe they got it off the air.
Well, what a treat.